going to be speaking tonight on a good portion of Mark chapter 8. It's what you are, not what you'd like to be. It's what you have, not what you'd like to have. Mark chapter 8. I'm going to read the first 9 verses. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Now the paper I gave you gives one column where it shows you in the New Testament where you'll find about the feeding of the 5,000. There was a second time that Jesus did feed multitudes, and that is in the second column where there's just 2 references to the feeding of 4,000. These are not the same feedings, just with a mix up of the number. There are 2 different times when he performed miraculous feeding. And the reason I gave that to you is because I know there was a time, and even yet, where is that 5,000? He fed 5,000, then he fed 4,000. And so I just got a visualization of it for myself. And then I thought, well, you know, maybe everybody else would be able to see that. Now, I know you're not going to put this with your most cherished papers. Okay. As a matter of fact, when you need to make a note about something, this is the one you may get on, Amy, okay? She knows what that's about. But, you know, so I understand, you know, about this, but that's why I gave it. Because there are 4 different times where he talked about feeding 5,000. And if you read each of those, okay, if you read each of those, you'll get a little bit of a different angle about each feeding, or you know, the feeding of 5,000, a different angle from each of the 4 that are listed. There's only 2 places where the 4,000. Now, look, I read to you the first 9 verses. He says, In those days, the multitude being very great, having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, He said, I got compassion, I care about these people. And they've been, now look at this. They have now been with me 3 days. Now listen, to be someplace for 3 days today, staying in a motel, okay, or taking a camper, or even having a tent at a campsite would be something. There were no Motel 6s. And it says, as a matter of fact, they have nothing to eat. Whatever they brought along to eat, where did they sleep? I don't know. It doesn't say. 3 days. 4,000 people. You read other passages and in other places, it's 4,000 men, 5,000 men, plus women and children. So let's just take mom and dad. We're talking about 8,000 people. Now, you say, well, they probably went to nearby villages. What did they have? They may have had a tavern that had, you know, 4 or 5 rooms. They didn't have accommodations in however many villages were near to where he was to be able to take care of 8,000 people. Now we're going to throw in let's just throw in 2,000 kids. 10,000. Think of the logistics of this. It blows my mind, really.
Yeah,
big, yeah. And Jesus cared about them.
Right.
Now, listen. However they did this, it's what they were used to. For us to have done this in light of what we're used to, we can't imagine it. But that's what they did. Okay? So them going about doing it did not shake them near as much as it is me. Okay? But nevertheless, doesn't mean it was an easy thing. And whatever food they took along, I'm thinking, you know, some salt pork and some salted fish and some salted everything. Now they got real thirsty. Well, they probably just got a couple cases of bottled water. Was there a spring nearby? Was there a stream? Was there some source of water for these people? Now, when people eat a little and drink a little, then what happens?
Uh-huh.
4,000 people. I didn't hear that, but I can tell it was good. So, I mean, this is all stuff that was needed. You see, we tend to read the Bible and we read it. Somehow our filtering system, it's not real to us.
That's right.
Somehow it's almost otherworldly. No. All of what I've just described would have happened, and I'm sure more that I'm not thinking of.
That's right.
And so he said, I care about this people. These people came out here to hear me teach. He probably did some healing. He always did wherever he was. And verse 3, if I send them away fasting. Now listen, this was not where Jesus said, well, let's have a fast. Nobody's going to eat. That's how we'll take care of the food problem. No, this was not a spiritual fast. What he's saying there, if I send these people away without food, they're not eating. That's what fasting means there. If I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. Now, this was not just like Hillary, who was in the sun when she left the observance. We're told she fainted. No, that's not what it means by fainting. I mean, these people are going to, I mean, they're really dropping over. Why? Because they don't have food. The elements are all that it was. And therefore, Jesus said, I can't send them away. Some of them came from far. They weren't all local people. Now, what is far? May have only been 25 miles. But they walked it. They walked it. I don't even want to walk the 19 or 20 miles to home, okay? Jen walks, okay? And Pastor and his family, they walk. That's about as far as I'd like to walk. There may have been a day where Paul walked to church, okay? But even the Avadises, they're not going to walk. And it's all downhill. Yeah, it's all downhill. What's that? Oh, you want to go home? Yeah, that's the other way then. You see, all of this is involved. Verse 4, and his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? He said, if we send them home, without food. And so then the disciples said, yeah, but Lord, how in the world are we going to satisfy the need of all of these people here in the wilderness? In other words, they're saying the closest 7-Eleven. Okay. No, in other words, what they're saying is, we don't have resources here. From whence can a man satisfy these people? In other words, how are we going to do it, Lord? How are we going to do it? Now, and so he asks in verse 5, how many loaves have you, ye? And they said, 7. We've got 7 with us. And so then he says, oh man, is that all? What are we going to do? No, that isn't what he says. He commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks. And you know how the story goes with the feeding. He broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, all right, go distribute it to them. If you read one of the feeding of the 5,000, he had them sit down by numbers of, was it 50 and 100? Okay. Now, you know what this tells me? Jesus did all things decently and in order. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, said we're to, in different context, but we're to do all things decently and in order. And that's what you, can you imagine if Jesus had simply prayed and all of a sudden here were these baskets that just kept filling up with bread. And these people are hungry. Do you know what we'd have? We'd have what you see on TV when they take food into a famine area and they don't have the people organized. They don't have them controlled. And the people mob the food. Jesus made sure that the logistics of this was going to be taken care of. Now again, we would have to go into reasonable imagination as to how the phrase having them sit down, that involved more than, all right, everybody sit down. Okay? I mean, you're going to walk through these people. You're going to feed 4,000. How many people are in Cuba? Anybody know? 1,500. Wow. Olean right now has 1,100. So you're talking a third of Olean. Huh? What, Mama? Yeah, 11,000, right. And we're feeding 4,000 plus women and children. So you're probably feeding half of Olean. Now, you're not going to get this done time-wise if they're just plopping down where they are. I believe that's why in one of the 5,000 categories, it says they had them sit down in numbers of 50 and 100. Simple as you're going to have room for the disciples, the apostles, to carry the baskets. And excuse me, will you sit down and get out of my way? You're going to feed all them people? The way it would happen with mob mentality, it'd take a whole day to feed them. And so we don't get that instant. Now, listen, this wasn't a drive-through with fast food. This didn't happen in a half an hour. But all of what I am trying to describe is what was happening and involved. And so and he said they had a few small fishes. And he blessed them and commanded to set them also before them, the people. So now they've got to distribute all of these fish. I mean, this is just awesome. I mean, this is the fellow we need in charge of going in when Katrina hits. Okay, and when these different tsunamis take place, okay, this is the kind of organization we need. FEMA needs to get into the book. Now, it's not going to give all of the detail that's needed to do this. There's a lot of things you can pray for and pray about, and this would be one of them. The organizations that have to take care of distributing things in all different kinds of crisis situations. And they had a few fish, and so verse 8, so they did eat, and I love this. They did eat and what? Were filled. You see, they were filled. What Jesus does is always satisfying. Okay? What Jesus does is always satisfying. Now, it's not what you have, or excuse me, it's not what you'd like to have, it's what you have. Jesus didn't say, what? Only 7 loaves? He took what they had and he used it. Yep. Here's the point. It's not what you'd like to be able to do. It's not what talents you'd like to have. It's not what abilities you'd like to have. It's giving God what you have. And he'll use what you have. And whether it's others who benefit from your life or yourself, they're going to be filled. It's going to meet the need. Quit wishing. Stop wishing. I'd like to take a scissor and cut the word wish out of every Christian's dictionary. I'd like to be able to sear it from the mind, the brain of Christians. It's not what we wish. It's what we'll let God do. Amen. Wishing won't get anything done. Yeah, it will. It will. I got to change that. Wishing will get something done. It'll get you frustrated. Okay? It'll get you discouraged. It'll get the devil to have victory in your life. Rather than to give him what you have and let him take it and use it. Want to give yourself a heart attack? I don't see any hands going up. Give yourself a heart attack. Give him what you have. Watch what he does with it. And then you can stand back and be amazed at what God did with it. You know, I've served God for many years and I haven't been amazed. No, you probably haven't given him everything either.
That's good. Yeah.
And that's a whole other message. Boy, I can't go there. We're already out of time. So let him take what you have. Then I want you to see in verse 10 to 13 when Jesus was frustrated. That's what I've titled it. Let's read it. Verse 10. And straightway, my mic isn't on. And then straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth. Oh, there they are again. Them Pharisees, they're always there. And Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven. They weren't sincerely seeking a sign. They were tempting him. That's right. That's what it says. Tempting him. What did he do? Verse 12 says, he sighed deeply in his spirit. And then he asked him a question audibly. Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall be no sign. There shall no sign be given unto this generation. And the reason I say he was frustrated, he sighed deeply. And in verse 13, he left them. Here Jesus is, disciples, there's always the faithful followers around. And come the Pharisees, and they'd like to have a sign. Sir, Master, Rabbi, Jesus, can you give us a sign? There isn't going to be any sign given to this generation. Come on, fellas, get your suitcase, pick it up, we're leaving here. There's nothing you can do here. There's nothing more to be done here. These boneheads are going to be boneheads all of their lives because they're not willing to accept what Moses said. They're not willing to accept what God's told them in the law. So he left them. You see, that's another one of the misconceptions many times we have. We have this misconception that Jesus is just going to put up with anything and everything that anybody can throw at him all the time. But go in your Bible and you read your Bible. God is no man's patsy.
Amen. That's good.
And Jesus has more patience than you and I will ever dream about having. But here is one example. Or he just sighed and he left them. What I picture is there they're standing. I don't think this happened, but I like to think I'm standing there as he walks up. You know, he answered them. They just didn't like the answer. They didn't like him because he didn't kowtow to their way of thinking. Well, now, another quickie on this, verse 14 to 21. And this is where we need to live on a higher level. You know, I'm going to save that for next week. Okay? There's no way I can get into that and us have time for prayer. So I'm going to look at verse 14 to 21 next week. The heading I have on it is live on a higher level. And I'll add to the little bit that I have. And we'll look at that next week and just see what the Lord has for us. But for this week, just give him what you got and be glad you got that to give him. You know, if we want to complain about what we don't have to give the Lord, he might just take away what we do have. Boy, now we don't even have that to give. Now we're really living in wishy-washy territory, wish land. Because now we don't even have what we did have. I heard an evangelist say one time, it comes off of a scripture. It just began to slip me there. Brother Leon Foote. And, got what you wanted, lost what you had. Where God would send leanness to their souls. So many times that'll happen. We'll get what we want. But boy, we'll lose what we had. So don't wish you had more. Just give him what you got. And then watch what he does with that. All right, we're going to go to prayer groups. Hello.